Happy Friday, and welcome to another episode of Speedrun, the show where we bring you the video game news of the day in 10 minutes or less. Today is August 27th, 2021. I'm your host, Steven Weber, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about Fortnite's MLK-inspired event, Blizzard officially renaming McCree and Overwatch, a few new details about Starfield, Skate 4 coming to PC, Netflix testing their gaming service in Poland, and Gearbox's new Montreal studio. It's a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's get right into it. Our first news story today is that Epic has launched an MLK experience in Fortnite. This comes from Jared Moore at IGN. Epic Games and Time Studios have teamed up to create Fortnite March Through Time, an all-new experience that pays homage to the life and achievements of Nobel Peace Prize recipient and civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr. Developed by members of the Fortnite community and available as of today, the new experience allows players to witness Dr. Martin Luther King's full I Have a Dream speech in-game. Details of the game mode were shared on the PlayStation blog, which states that players taking part in the experience will travel to a reimagined Washington, D.C. at the Lincoln Memorial and U.S. National Mall, where Dr. King originally gave his speech in 1963. The experience also includes museum-inspired points of interest and mini-quests that players can undertake alongside one another. Those who fully complete the March Through Time experience will gain access to an in-game reward in the form of a DC-63 spray for their lockers. So I think the meaning behind this event was well-natured. I've seen mixed reactions to the actual execution online. The fact that people can kind of wear any skin, you know, they could show up as Rick Sanchez or Superman at this event, and it's kind of weird. The same with the emotes and things like that. It's just a little bit out of place. So the idea behind it is good. The fact that they're trying to reach into these more real-world educational events and stuff like that in the game is something that should be expanded upon and explored more, but the execution could probably use a little bit of work, at least from my opinion. And our second news story of the day is that Blizzard is officially renaming McCree. This comes from Michael McWhorter at Polygon. Blizzard Entertainment says it will rename McCree, Overwatch's outlaw bounty hunter, after his real-life namesake, former game designer Jesse McCree, was let go from the studio in the wake of a sexual harassment and gender discrimination lawsuit filed against publisher Activision Blizzard. Quote, "We believe it's necessary to change the name of the hero currently known as McCree to something that better represents what Overwatch stands for," Blizzard's Overwatch team said in a statement posted Thursday to Twitter announcing the name change. "We realize that any change to such a well-loved and central hero in the game's fiction will take time to roll out correctly, and we'll share updates as this work progresses," Blizzard continued. "In the near term, we had planned to kick off a narrative arc in September supported with the new story and game content, of which McCree was a key part. Since we want to integrate this change into that story arc, we'll be delaying the new arc until later this year and instead launch a new FFA map this September. Going forward, in-game characters will no longer be named after real employees, and we will be more thoughtful and discerning about adding real-world references in future Overwatch content." The real-life Jesse McCree was a longtime Blizzard Entertainment employee who worked on the developers' World of Warcraft expansions, Diablo 3, and the upcoming Diablo 4. He left the company in August, 2 weeks after a report was published that featured McCree taking part in a Blizzard gathering at the BlizzCon Cosby Suite with former World of Warcraft creative director Alex Afrasiabi. In the lawsuit filed by California regulators in July, Afrasiabi was alleged to have engaged in blatant sexual harassment with little to no repercussions while at Blizzard. So it's been assumed basically since the lawsuit broke that McCree would have to be removed from the game, but he is such an integral part of the lore in that universe and all the voice lines that they need to re-record that there was questions about how they were going to do it, if they were just going to rename him and ignore those voice lines or what they might do. And some of those questions are still in the air, but they are at least moving forward with doing that, renaming the character, rebranding, I'm sure, and then trying to re-record all of those lines in the original Overwatch, hopefully to get rid of all references to McCree. Our third news story of the day is that we got a few new details about Starfield. This comes from Matt Kim at IGN. Starfield fans discovered three unlisted videos from Bethesda that reveal the lore behind some of the locations players might visit in the upcoming space RPG. Earlier today, social media users began sharing three unlisted videos by Bethesda that offer a brief insight into locations in the game, including cities called New Atlantis, Neon, and Aquila. While these videos are unlisted, Bethesda confirmed to IGN that these videos were actually shared with members of the Constellation, a community club that people can sign up for on the Starfield website. Constellation members will get some new info, like these videos, first. While these videos are now floating around online, they're all quite brief, less than 50 seconds per video. They offer a nice summary of three locations players will encounter in Starfield. This includes the metropolitan New Atlantis, the capital city of the United Colonies, who are the most powerful and established military and political faction in the game. There's also Aquila City, the capital of the Freestar Collective, a loose confederation of three star systems and a bastion for personal freedoms in space. And finally, there's Neon, a pleasure city that began as a fishery before the Xenofresh Corporation discovered one of the native fish species has psychotropic properties, transforming this outpost into a vice city. They're pretty cool videos. If you're interested in Starfield and some of the initial lore and locations you might explore in the game, you should definitely go and check them out. But they are really short. I'm sure we'll get more details on Starfield later in the year. Our fourth news story of the day is that Skate 4 is officially coming to PC. This comes from Owen Good at Polygon. Skate 4 fans with a PC, breathe easy. The newest Skate game, which everyone is calling Skate 4, at least until its actual title is revealed, will be launching on your platform, Electronic Arts said Thursday. Again, there were no extra details beyond that. Full Circle developers dropped this quick PC-themed tweet, then got back to work, and the tweet basically just says it's coming to PC. The first three games in EA's Skate franchise were all console-only for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. Skate fans had worried that a gamepad-intensive game might leave them out, but the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remasters showed the sport does do well as a Windows PC video game, pulling review scores consistent with the console version's strong marks. The next Skate game is in development at Full Circle, a studio formed expressly to handle this sequel. Designers said their project was brought to life purely thanks to fan feedback and social media clamor for a series revival. The Skate franchise's three games were published between 2007 and 2010. So great news for any Skate fans on PC, just bringing this franchise to more folks, especially with a sequel this hotly anticipated. It's great news for everyone. Our fifth news story that is that Netflix is testing their game streaming service, but only in Poland. This comes from Jay Peters at The Verge. Netflix is taking its next step into gaming by allowing subscribers in Poland on Android to play two Stranger Things games, the company announced Thursday. Quote, starting today, members in Poland can try Netflix mobile gaming on Android with two games, Stranger Things 1984 and Stranger Things 3, all as part of their membership, a Netflix spokesperson said in a statement. Quote, it's still very, very early days, and we'll be working hard to deliver the best possible experience in the months ahead with our no ads, no in-app purchases approach to gaming. You can get an idea of how it works in a tweet from Netflix's Polish team, which is linked in the article, will be in the podcast description if you're interested. Available games will show up in your home feed. If you tap on the game's icon, you can learn more about the game and tap a button to download it, which will take you to the Google Play store to download it. You can also find the games for yourself on Google Play. After the game is downloaded, when you open it and try to play it, you'll be asked to log in with your Netflix credentials before you can start playing, the Netflix spokesperson told The Verge. This means that games aren't being streamed to your device. They're downloaded. In July, Netflix put some big stakes in the ground about its plans for gaming, hiring a former EA and Oculus exec to lead the company's gaming work and stating that its initial strategy would be primarily focused on games for mobile devices. Games will also be included for free with users' Netflix subscriptions, which is all setting up for the company to offer an Apple Arcade-like suite of mobile games available to Netflix subscribers. So this initial test actually came a lot sooner than I thought. When they started this a few months ago in July, it seemed like it was at least a year off until they would start testing the service. But here we are, they're testing in a smaller market like Poland, and they're just focused on downloaded mobile games. So it definitely seems like they're going after the Apple Arcade market first if they're going to try and launch towards console as well in the future. That remains to be seen. And our final news story for the week is that Gearbox is opening a new studio in Montreal. This comes from Jared Moore at IGN. Gearbox has announced a new Montreal-based studio that will add 250 jobs to Quebec's technology sector as it works on further Borderlands content and brand new games. The new studio is being co-led by industry veterans Sebastian Case and Pierre-André Dorie. The latter spoke about the exciting new opportunity for Gearbox in a press release, saying, quote, building on Gearbox's long history of creative freedom, we're excited to assemble a new development team to work on the Borderlands franchise and create new IPs in Montreal. So Gearbox has been expanding pretty aggressively over the last few years and really pushing hard on the Borderlands franchise. They are more than likely going to release several new titles and content drops after Tiny Tina's Wonderlands in the years to come, especially with the Borderlands movie coming. Hopefully they'll get another boost from that. But Gearbox's new IP have not really turned out so well in the last few years with things like Godfall on next-gen consoles. That kind of came out flat or dead on arrival. Not many people played it or still do. So hopefully they can get a new IP coming out at some point in the near future that can get up there with Borderlands as something that fans really enjoy. So those are the major news stories around video games for the morning of August 27th, 2021. If you like the show, please shoot us a review on your preferred podcasting platform and follow us on Twitter at GlitchPoint or me personally at NerdGuySteve. This has been Speedrun, a GlitchPoint podcast. I'm Steven Weber. Stay safe and have a fantastic weekend.